Amen. You can be seated, and I think we just need to pray right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. And Lord, we thank you for the reminders of such things that can happen as we come to spaces like this, because I know I've been in spots where I just don't see where there's a way. And sometimes I doubt. And that is why this community of the church is so, so important, because we come together, Lord, to hear your eternal truths from your word. And as we sing our prayers to you, we are declaring who you are. And Lord, we need one another. We need one another that we can share testimonies with each other of the ways you've made for us when someone else can't see how that's possible. And we can be encouraged by that. We are told to keep meeting together so that we can encourage one another. So Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this space. Lord, I pray right now as we dig into the word that you would just lead us, you would comfort us, you would guide us, you would challenge us. Because even in that first song, we talked about how faithful you are. The issue is we are not often faithful with you and what you've given us. So Lord, would you help us to really hear from you today? We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, with that, I just want to say good morning again. And this morning, we are wrapping up a series we've been in that's called Traveling Light. And this has been a series where we are learning from David, okay? We're learning from him based on his personal pursuit of God the Father. And we've been doing this primarily via Psalm 23. And overall, what David learned, again, through his relationship with God, is that God is an ever-present church. He is an ever-ready companion that will help us to carry our burdens. That's what Traveling Light's about. Now, as has been pointed out in prior weeks of this series, the Christian life, and you probably know this if you've been walking with God, but the Christian life has no less burdens necessarily than the non-Christian life. The difference is that we, those of us who have accepted and are followers of Christ, we have direct access, you see, to the God of all creation in order for him to help us carry them. And perhaps, dare I say, even eliminate some of them as our perspective changes, you see, as our minds become more and more like Christ's. Now, with that said, I want to just revisit a key word this morning from Jesus to us all that is related to all of this. And we looked at it in week one, but in our final week, it's good to look at it again. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He said, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," said Jesus, "for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. And through coming to me," says Jesus, "you will find rest." He said, "You'll find rest for your weary soul." And he said, "Take my yoke upon you. Take my teaching upon you. Take my way upon you, because it is easy and my burden is light." So church, we have the ability to travel through, to journey through this life more lightly, not being weighed down to the point of exhaustion or to the point of not being able to move forward. But that takes us relying on, it takes us including God in it all, in the good, the bad, and the ugly, and yes, even the heavy. Now, with that said, in this, again, our final week of Traveling Light, we are going to talk about the burden of loneliness. Loneliness. And what is interesting about this burden is that when it comes to relating it to suitcases or baggage, this burden is so, so heavy. It is so, so heavy despite, when you think about it, being a suitcase full of what? Nothing, right? Just emptiness. Because that is what loneliness feels like. It feels empty, does it not? It is like an empty suitcase with side compartment after side compartment that is just empty. Yet again, it is so, so heavy. How can that be? And what can we do about that? Well, we're going to look at that today. And also what I would like to propose today, what I would like to explore a little bit today is how loneliness, do you know what? Loneliness can actually be a good opportunity. Yes, you heard me correctly. It can be a good opportunity. And we're going to look at, we're going to talk about how that can even be this morning. But first, to begin, I want to recite together where we have been thus far in this psalm. And as we do, I want you to look at it through the lens of loneliness and how the very essence of this psalm that we've been looking at is a combatant to loneliness. Let's read Psalm 23, verse 1 through 4, and read it with me if you would. It's going to be on the screen. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you, God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So who is our shepherd? The Lord. And who leads you and me beside still waters? He, God, does. And who guides us along the right paths? He does. And how are we, as we discussed last week, able to fear no evil? Well, it is because of his presence with us. And lastly, who comforts us overall? He, again, God does. My point is, all throughout this psalm, David is proclaiming to us, and God is letting us know that we are not what, church? We are not alone, for he is with us. So we have the opportunity for an intimate. We have the opportunity for a special friend, God himself, Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, with us through what? Through it all, and even in our loneliness. So I am just telling you that as you pursue him, okay, as you and I, as we pursue him wholeheartedly and his offered relationship, and as you and I, as we participate with the Holy Spirit of God, he is going to be there for you and with you as an intimate friend, the intimate friend that you need. And at the end of the day, he is enough. A realization of this happened to me just this past week. I was really down and out, okay? It had been an ugly couple of days, but I picked up my Bible, even though, just being real with you, I didn't want to. I didn't want to. I was feeling that jaded, church. But I picked it up, and I did one of these things where you just flip through it. You ever done that? I was just wanting to see what he may show me, but honestly, again, I was doubting he would show me anything meaningful. Again, I was that jaded. But I'm telling you what, bam, bam, Psalm 31. Go read it sometime. It was just what I needed. And you know what? My special and my intimate friend, the Lord, gave that to me just when I needed it, even though I was doubting he could. So with that said, what we come to realize already this morning through our reading and my brief and my unexpected testimony is this. God is a companion. God is a companion now and forever to combat loneliness. Again, the psalmist proclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." And nothing includes not lacking a close friend. For that is who and what he wants to be to you. Now let's look at and read the remainder of the psalm to even see this truth more deeply this morning. Verse 5 and 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I want us to notice the progression of these words and the ideas expressed in them, because they are no accident. First, can you imagine for a second the Lord himself preparing or setting a table for you? Can you imagine that in your mind? God setting a table for you? Well, that is what he does. And it is one you can sit at with him in the presence of your enemies. That is what the psalmist proclaims that the Lord is doing. And his presence with you in this setting, that would be pretty special, would it not be? Special enough to certainly lessen the weight of loneliness. But it gets even more personal than that as we keep exploring the words we just read here. You see, from him preparing and setting a table, he then moves into anointing our heads with oil, which describes a closer and a more personal even relationship, as it indicates what? It indicates touch, doesn't it? Now, in ancient Near East culture, anointing a guest's head with oil, that was customary at a banquet. Oil was mixed with perfume to refresh and to soothe weary travelers. And due to loneliness, which I have experienced, we'll talk about that in a second, but due to loneliness, don't you have to admit that at times you are a weary traveler? A weary traveler through this life? Well, church, the Lord alleviates your weary burdens of loneliness while in his presence. He alleviates that through this symbolic anointing of our heads with oil. As he washes over us in our reading of his word to us, he is washing over us in that moment of his truth. And as we engage with him in prayer, in other words, he welcomes you. He welcomes you at his table, but he welcomes you with hospitality. He welcomes you with respect. He welcomes you with provision. He treats you specially through it. And how does our psalm end? It ends by proclaiming that we are and will not be a short-term visitor to be entertained and then to be sent off on one's way, but that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever with him. Thus, what we see is that the Lord prepares a hospitable place, a hospitable place for you to be with him now and forever. And this progression of deepening closeness with the Lord that the psalmist communicates and the forever nature of it, I got to tell you, that is really important as we consider this thing called loneliness. Because here is what loneliness is at its core. Loneliness is not about the absence of people. That's not what it's about. It is about the absence of intimacy or closeness with people. And we should know this. We should know this because just because you or I may have a spouse and or kids, or just because we are maybe surrounded by all kinds of people, that doesn't mean that we aren't lonely at times. Maybe even a lot of the time, right? It doesn't mean that. Well, this is because loneliness at its core doesn't come from being alone. It comes from feeling alone. In fact, 2,000 years ago, did you know that there are about 250 million people that populated this earth? Well, today there are more than 7.5 billion. So if loneliness could be cured by the presence of people, then surely there would be less of it today. Yet it lingers, doesn't it? It lingers in our souls from season to season, and it comes from feeling as if we are alone. Alone facing things like death or disease or our future or even our enemies or our current struggles, which I bet many of you feel or have felt or will feel. And this feeling of loneliness, I don't know about for you, but it can strike at several times and in several situations. For example, it can strike you in the middle of the night at the sounds of an empty house. Or it can even strike you at your home during the awake hours, which may be crowded with people. But if there are maybe no real, intimate, or close connections, you still feel lonely, right? And it can strike you or I in the boardrooms and at clubs or at parties where there are numbers of people, but it can strike us there because, again, you don't have to be alone to feel alone. So maybe you felt it or you feel it today or you will feel it in the very near future as a student. You know, maybe a student with very few connections or friends, or it could be or have been you as maybe you raise your kids as a single parent, or it could have been or be you at work where you just have no real connections, or it could be you as you have aged and maybe sadly lost a spouse, or maybe you've become empty nesters in the house. It just doesn't feel the same. It feels like a pit of emptiness. And can I just quickly confess that I certainly know the darkness of loneliness. I know the darkness of it. Being a pastor can be quite lonely. In fact, life in general can be quite lonely. Leadership is lonely in general, right? It can be a lonely place, being a pastor. And maybe you know that as a leader in your family or at work or whatever role you hold. And again, I have certainly experienced this. In fact, I did a little bit of research to find out some things about myself. And I found out that per an organization called Pastoral Care Incorporated, which is this leading organization, you know, providing pastoral care to pastors, they found that 84% of pastors desire to have close relationship with someone. Someone that can be trusted. Someone that they can confide in. So that's the desire, 84%. But then their same research showed that 70% of pastors agree that they do not have a close friend. And another statistic is that 65% of pastors feel as though, and being a pastor and being a Christian, I know this is right. They feel as though that they live in a glass house where everyone sees and is watching their every move, which is naturally a what, church? That is naturally a block to intimacy. That is a block to closeness because you always want to appear to have it all together, right? And you don't dare let anyone in too closely to see your faults, to see your struggles. Well, I got a news flash for you, okay? This is not just a pastoral phenomenon. Many of us struggle. Many of us struggle out of fear of really letting people in. And I am sure to some degree you can relate to that. Many of us want to avoid people knowing us deeply. We want to avoid them seeing our weaknesses. We want to avoid them seeing our warts. But you got to know this morning, cowering to that fear too exclusively, in doing that, do you know what we do? We contribute to our own heavy weight of loneliness. We just add to it. So you can trust me in speaking on loneliness because I so relate. But here's more importantly what I know. We can all trust the psalmist David. We can trust him in this because he knew a thing or two about loneliness. For example, he knew it in his family. Do you remember the scene when the prophet Samuel came to David's family? It's in 1 Samuel 16. He came there to see which of Jesse's kids would be the next king. Who was forgotten by his own father in that scene? David. And so as Samuel examined David's seven brothers but found none with God's anointing to be king, he counts the kids and he asked Jesse, "Don't you have another son? Where is he?" And Jesse is like, "Oh, yeah, I do have David, my youngest, but he's kind of the run of the family. You know, he's out alone taking care of the sheep." And so Jesse sends for him, and sure enough, David is the one to be the next king. How would you feel if your own family? How would you feel if your own family called a meeting but they forgot to include you? How would you feel if there was a wedding in your family, but you were the only sibling to not receive an invite? Pretty forgotten, right? Pretty lonely, right? So David knows. He knows about loneliness. And there are way more examples from his life that I don't have time to go into today. But in this scene, who hadn't forgotten David? God hadn't forgotten David. He had not forgotten David. And for certain, what I want you to know today, what I want you to hear today is God hasn't forgotten you. Know that today. He sees you. So our feelings of loneliness can and really should be looked at as an opportunity. An opportunity to realize that we are still seen and seen by the one that really matters. And so though our feelings of loneliness take us to this place of just wanting to like drop this piece of baggage because it's palpable, because it's painful, I just want to ask, should we? Should we be so quick to just drop it? Try to drown it out? Or may God have a plan and a blessing for us in it? Which I believe, I'm telling you what, I believe he does. But first, I got to be clear, God is not sadistic, church. He does not strike us with or create loneliness in our lives for any warped purpose, like to get us to focus on him. He doesn't do that on purpose to do that, but I'll tell you what, he can do something through it, and he can bless us in it. And I can confidently say this of our God because of his original creation, where he created a perfect place, remember, where perfect intimacy and closeness existed between Adam and Eve, and where perfect relationship existed between each of them and he himself, God. But the fall, original sin, it shattered that, which shattered his heart too, to the point where he sent Jesus to live and to die, but only to rise again so that he can be back in relationship and personal relationship with each one of us again. And so that one day we can experience intimate and perfect relationship with one another again. For he is restoring all things. And when that happens, I'm telling you what, all loneliness, it's going to be wiped out. But even with that said, I got to tell you, this is not just a wait until that happens solution. Because you know what? God knows that loneliness is real. And God knows that loneliness is not fun. And he knows feeling lonely is not healthy. And thus, he has something for us in it, even as we wait. So what is that? Well, let me ask you. Have you ever just realized that you enjoy or like something because you explored it due to not having any other options? You know, maybe you were on a work trip to some city or some town that you've never been to, and you find yourself just sick and tired of staring at the four walls of the hotel room maybe, or clicking through the remote. So you decide to just explore the area, but unbeknownst to you, you know, you stumble upon a cafe or even a bar with like live music, so you figure, what the heck? I'm going to go check that out. Only to discover an artist that is super talented or a form of music you may have never been exposed to before. And you suddenly realize, wow, that's pretty cool. I like that artist. I like this music. I share that because this happened to me. When I was on a work trip once to Kingston, Ontario, I discovered, of all things, Irish music. I discovered how fun and how unique it was. So much so that I had to take my wife on a trip to Kingston to relive the memory and to share with her some of what I discovered when I had nothing else to do and nowhere else to turn. I wouldn't have discovered it otherwise. And this whole concept of stumbling upon something that ends up being a cure, really, a blessing, really, that's also a part of Laura and my relationship story. We were high schoolers at a dance with our mutual friends, and they were just like being bumps on logs. So we started talking and having fun and dancing. That's where and how our relationship began. It began where we had nowhere else to turn, and we discovered that we kind of liked each other. And things grew from there, and now we've been married over 24 years. My point in sharing that is that when we feel that we have nowhere else to turn, even in our deep loneliness, that just isn't true. We have God. We have God to turn to, and God does and will use that to draw us unto himself and to draw us unto the right others. You see, loneliness is a good opportunity to turn to the Lord and to the close relationship he offers us now and forever. And again, he is enough. Again, the psalmist proclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." But even in saying that, let's be real, okay? We all have the need for a tangible friendship, right? Of another human being. And if loneliness has struck, maybe due to death, we also need healing. But as we lean into him, as we lean into God, and as we pursue him through things like church life, and as we participate with the Holy Spirit by maybe serving or getting involved in avenues of relationship offered here, things like small groups or Bible studies, he will in time provide us with some healing. He will. And the human connections and relationships that we need, and just the right ones, at just the right time, and in just the right amounts. And this especially comes as you and I, you know what we need to do? We need to allow him to grow us and to change us into being the kind of friends that others need. We need to focus on that versus focusing on all that we feel like we don't have. We must trust him for that. We must thank him for that as he provides and as he sees fit and as he sees best for us. And I got to tell you what, yes, this may take exploring new things. It may take, you know, exploring new opportunities and taking some God-directed risks. But I want us to remember at the end of the day, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Jireh, which means the God who provides, including closeness with him and others to combat loneliness. And this is important to pursue, I got to tell you, because loneliness unattended to, do you know what that turns into? Hopelessness, which is not a place you should desire to go. It is certainly not a place that he wants to see you go. Now, as we prepare to close, let's reflect one more time on that final section of this psalm, 25 and 26. Look at it on the screen. Now, the focus of this final section, it includes turning to the future, doesn't it? And what this means is that he, right now, again, he is preparing a table for you. And he is preparing a table for many, where we shall dwell together one day based on our faith in Jesus Christ. So while loneliness may linger, and while it may present itself season to season, while it is still called today, morning is coming, church. The day is coming where we will share in our inheritance together, where he will be fully present with us again in complete closeness and intimacy, and where we will be fully present together with one another as the family of God in perfect and close relationship. Praise God for that. What hope to hold on to. And I just have to say that one part of this final portion of the psalm that I love as I consider this burden of loneliness is how it says that when that happens, when all things are restored, our cup will what? It will overflow. So for you and me, while loneliness from season to season can feel like an empty suitcase with compartment after compartment being empty, that is not our promised future state. But instead, we are promised an overflowing abundance of close and deep relationship with him and with others, which our soul hungers for, which our soul thirsts for. How beautiful is that? What ultimate hope there is found in that. So today, as we experience loneliness, let's allow it to draw us close to him as he so desires. And let's experience his presence with us more deeply and more fully. And let's believe for and let's see how he can be and is in fact enough. Let's proclaim together, I lack nothing because I have him and because he has me. And let's believe for and let's see how we will provide what we need in the face of loneliness today, as we await again when he will completely eliminate it forever. Because just as he hadn't forgotten David, again, he hasn't, and he won't forget you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your truth and your word, and just the truth of your presence with us, your desired relationship with us, so much so that you did send your son. And Lord, you are preparing a place for us, a table for us. And Lord, you are providing ways today to build relationship with you through your word, through prayer, and through helping and serving with others and connecting with others. You provide. It takes us stepping into that. It takes us being faithful with what you've offered to us and responding to it. So Lord, would you help us to step into your presence and feel it, comfort us, and to carry this burden of loneliness. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite the worship team forward, and as they do, I want you to allow me to just let you know about a couple tangible things that you can do, that God is putting before you, that he is tangibly setting the table for you with to help alleviate any loneliness that you may feel. And the first one is something we've got coming up in October. We're going to start a series called When God Speaks. It's going to be 6 weeks, and we're going to talk about how do we hear from God. And what I want to let you know is we really want to connect you in a small group for those 6 weeks, to be in relationship with others, to go through a workbook together, to really explore this topic, but that can combat loneliness as you're together with one another and praying for each other and looking at God's word together. The workbooks are $10, but if that's a burden for you, don't let it be. We have a sign up in the back, and I just encourage you, if you want to consider being connected to a small group here for those 6 weeks and just see what God may do, just sign up on that and someone will be in touch with you. The other thing I just want to show real quickly is an opportunity that we have. It's at our McKinley location, but it's a great program, and we've got a video to let you know about, and it combats loneliness.
Hi, I'm Nancy Hellenbrook. I thought I was probably doing okay because I was reading my Bible heavy into Scripture and walking with the Lord, so I figured I didn't need grief share. When I received that letter, I thought, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. But when I got there, that was totally different. The first video told me, wow, this is good. This is so good. The video speakers were absolutely outstanding. They were just wonderful. We laughed, we cried. It was a wonderful group. And that meant so much. And to see the videos and do it together with people that are feeling the same as you is just wonderful. They answer questions that I had, and I don't know where I ever thought I was going to get the answers to those if I hadn't seen the videos. The way they talked was very applicable to my life. So if you've lost somebody and the pain is still there, I know you're feeling that you're doing okay. I felt that way. I really did. But I decided to go. It was the best thing I had done. The very best thing.
Yeah, so your best way to connect with that if you're dealing with grief is to go to the website, revivewesleyan.com/griefshare, and get connected to that for some healing and some relationship. So with that, I'm going to invite you to stand as we worship through song.